Hi, my name is Frankie. Thank you for listening to Two My Mom. I never listen.
It is our pleasure on Nothing But Net to have not one, not two, not three times Coach of the Year in three different leagues, plus an Olympic gold medal, Nell Fortner, who is the head coach of Georgia Tech. Woohoo! Nell, what's going on?
Well, just talking to you, Antonelli, just trying to keep my head above water. You know, this time of year, it's crazy in the basketball world.
Well, you got to be happy. You're 9-0. Your team entered the polls this week at number 25.
Yeah.
You got a great group that's fun to watch. What have you enjoyed the most about this start so far?
It's always fun to win because it's hard. It's hard to win. But this group has really been so much fun to coach. I'll be really honest with you. It is one of the most fun groups of kids I've ever coached before. They come to work every day. I'm not coaching effort. They're really good kids. And I think this freshman class that we've brought in, these four freshmen, and then we have a grad transfer that came to us from Georgia. They've really added so much personality along with their talent that it's just meshed really well. So we've been fortunate with that.
Well, you have a freshman that is leading you in scoring, Danny Carnegie. I don't know if you could have predicted that or not, because you had so much experience with Kara Dunn and Tony Morgan returning in the backcourt. Tell us a little bit about Danny's game and why it's transferred so quickly.
Yeah, Danny is, first of all, a great kid, super family, but Antonelli, she is a walking bucket. Now, when we play Wednesday, she might not hit a shot because I said that, right? I don't want to jinx her, but she has a skill to score the basketball that's really high level. And it's just, I don't know if I want to call it natural. She has this natural feel for the game that's really just really fun to coach. And she's really, and I think it's going in every time she shoots it. She just has a very high level of IQ on how to get that shot off, how to get open right there, because it doesn't take her but a hot second to get open.
Well, here's a number for you. Like in the last 4 years, not counting this year, 5.8, 4.3, 5.6, 5.7. That was the average number of three-point makes per game. This year, you're at 9.2. You have a lot more scoring.
Yeah.
That was the one thing that I know you wanted to address in the offseason. You told us many times you needed more scorers, shooters. How's it working out? Like, it looks like it's going well.
Yeah. And, you know, to go along with that, you have to change your philosophy of how you want to play. And that's the other thing that we did. So we definitely put a lot of work in the summer on everybody on the floor being a three-point shooter, because we wanted to spread the floor like that, because we knew we had people who could play off the bounce. They could create. They could create for scores. They could create for themselves. And so we just kind of fashioned it to play with higher pace. We wanted to shoot the ball more. We wanted more possessions every game. So you look around the country, you look around at some of the teams, and it's just like, it's a fun style to play. Kids want to play it. And so that's what we're trying to do.
You know, culture and identity are words that are thrown out like cliches now around the game. You know, I'm so sick of hearing people talk about it without defining exactly what it might be. And for you, you have sort of changed based on your personnel and your recruiting philosophy. And a lot of it probably is predicated on the great amount of guards that are in the ACC. Like, this is a guard heavy league, especially this year. It seems to be that way every year, but particularly this year, it feels like, you know, and you've got a backcourt that many might think is a little bit under the radar, but it's not going to be under the radar anymore. I mean, not when you're in the top 25.
Well, there's no question. You've heard this forever, Antonelli. Guards. You can't have enough guards. You just can't. And so that's kind of like what the road that we traveled when we recruited, you know, because these four freshmen are all guards. But at the same time, they could all be on the floor at the same time. So it's just, it depends on how you want to play the game, big, small, fast, slow, whatever. But I feel like we've got the versatility to play several different ways, but we like to let that three ball fly and we want to push the pace.
You know, I love it.
I know. I mean,
how many years? I've been decades. I've been preaching offense, right? And I know you got to play D to stay in the game. But man, when you got guards that can make the defense wrong every time, and you have guards that can do that, they can break it off if they need to, but they also can bail it out if they have to.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I remember when before I got back into coaching, and I was having a conversation with Andy Landers, and, you know, we were talking about the game and blah, blah, blah. And of course, defense, you know, defense, and I'm still very defense driven. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we have to hang our hat on it. We have to, because some nights these shots aren't going to fall. But I remember talking to Andy, and I was like, you know, if I get back in this thing, we're going to shoot the ball a lot, you know, but I just didn't have the teams up until now that could really do that. I mean, like at a higher level. And so it sure has been fun to coach so far.
Well, is this year five?
Six.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I know.
So I remember after the Final Four 6 years ago, we were on the same flight. I think it was Tampa.
Yeah, it was.
We were on the flight to Atlanta, and you came and you sat down next to me on the plane, and you said, Antonelli, guess what? I'm taking the Georgia Tech job. I was like, what? And then I was like, woo, yes. I mean, I was looked at you like, wow, I love it. I loved it. I thought it was great because our game needs you now. It needs you at any level, anytime, wherever you want to be. You've done everything. You don't have anything else left on your resume to accomplish, really, except for, you know, winning a national championship, going deeper into the tournament, getting the Final Four. Yep. I mean, those kinds of things, right? I mean, what did you learn from your Auburn team that was, I believe, the two seed the year that you had to go to Rutgers and play in the NCAA tournament? Because you had DeJuana Bonner on that team. And I know you came up from way below the radar all the way up as the season went on. What did you learn there?
Well, that guards matter, because that was a team full, because Bonner was a guard. You know, I mean, she was 6'4", but she handled the ball. She started our offense a lot of time. You know, she could bring it down the floor. And so I had basically four guards on the floor all the time with a post player. So, I mean, there's no question that that was the reason why we had the success that we did. And then that Bonner was 6'4", so she could guard your, you know, a four player or a five if you had to have that. But that was just really a lot of fun. The other thing I learned was patience in this regard. You know, when I got to Auburn, there weren't many people coming to the games. And I remember walking out into that empty state arena going, golly, I can't wait till we fill this place up one day. I can't wait till we fill it up. And man, when we filled that thing up, we won the SEC in 2009. I remember walking out with my Dobo, Melissa Maines, going, yes, remember what we've had this conversation. This place was people hanging from the rafters, and we broke the record for people in the arena. Mm. That's exactly how I feel here at Georgia Tech. That's going to happen here. And it's so much fun to build something like that and to feel that excitement and to the joy in that, for not only for the coaches, but for the players.
The Indiana Fever. I mean, you're part of the fabric of that franchise, and you're watching what's happening. You know, you were the head coach. I mean, I had a chance. Like, I think now every time I had a game at the Fever that you were the head coach, we went to lunch. So we had a lot of lunches. We talked a lot of hoops. It was so fun. Like, just listening to you break it down or listening to you discuss different situations. And I mean, I know how much you love it. And everyone sees your personality. Like, we know your personality from TV. What is it that keeps spurring you on to keep doing it at this level?
Look, I have to give all credit to my parents, because they were young, even when they were older. And it's like, it's all about, you know, look, coaching takes energy. So you better have some energy and some enthusiasm. But I love being around the kids. I mean, when you have a good group, man, they're fun to wake up. Every day you wake up and you're like, how can I help them get better? How can I help them get better? And so everything is driven by that. But the energy that it takes, and I'm just fortunate and blessed that I'm older, but I feel a lot younger. And that's helps a lot. But I've got really good kids that drive me, and they make me want to continue to study the game, to learn more about the game. What else can we do? And my staff, let me tell you, I've got a phenomenal staff. Love them. They've got the energy and the drive also. So when you get that good combination, it feels good.
So you're the sum of all of your experience, right? And you've had a lot of different experiences. You've coached a lot of different places. You've coached the greatest talent in the history of the game at the Olympics. And when you're looking at where our game is right now, and I know you got to feel invested, somewhat empowered, maybe emboldened by it, you know, that you've been a part of it from the get-go, watching from your playing days at Texas for Coach Conrad through all the legends that you've had a part of, staffs and things that you've done. You know, when you think back on all of that now, can you reflect on that? Like, can you put it in a summation of all that experience?
But the first thing I go to is that I've been extremely blessed to be around the people, to grow up in the game and be around the coaches, work with coaches that I've been able to work with. I mean, I look back at it and I go, did this really happen? I mean, did this really happen? Did I really play for Coach Conrad? Did I really work with Leon Barmore and Gary Blair and Tara Vanderveer? Are you kidding me? Yeah. It's like at the cornucopia of coaches, right? So I've just been really, really fortunate. And I can't say enough about just how much I've learned from each point, every coach, what I've learned and how I carried it on, and being able to still do it today is just, I'm blessed. But when I think about where I am today, Antonelli, yeah, I'm going to enjoy it. You know, there were years in my sport, you know, you're just stressed out. You're like, you know, you dread it. Everything was just stressful. I got to do this pound, 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 whatever. I'm going to enjoy every second of this. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to help these players be the best they can be on a daily basis. And I'm going to enjoy every day and not be stressed out about it. So I'm trying to do that. And the next time you see me, I hope that I'm still saying the same thing.
Nell, yeah, that's exactly it, right? Okay, so let's talk about the ACC for just a minute, yeah, because the league is really good. The SEC won the challenge 10-6, but the league is still good. The guard play in the league is good. And, you know, when you get to March, it's all about the guards, and it's about having some experience. You've had a lot of experience there. When you look at your schedule and you look around the league and you think about this particular part of it, a lot of people at Media Day thought that you were kind of an under-the-radar team, that you were going to be really good. I didn't think you were just under the radar. I thought you would be good because your backcourt was good. And I was in practice one day in September, and I did get to see how hard your kids were working. So I knew you could score, and I knew you had more skill and depth, especially in the backcourt. When you're thinking about being patient, now having expectation, the first conference game is at North Carolina, which to me, Courtney has the best team she's ever had there. When you start thinking about all of that, what do you rely on that lets you know that your kids are going to be confident when they get there?
Yeah. You know, the work that we put, you always have to rely on the work you put in and the belief in what you're doing on a daily basis. Are we covering areas that we have to continue to cover to be the best we can be when we compete? So those are just the things that have to happen. And I think, you know, just making sure your kids are confident that they continue to believe in what we're doing. I tell you, this is, and I tell them this, it's the first time, I guess, since we went to that year, we went to the Sweet 16, and the next year we got to the tournament, but we didn't go far. But I feel like we've got both barrels loaded. I really do. And it's like that, I haven't felt that in a long time. And it feels good. Because yeah, I feel like we'll have a shot at any time we play the game. We're going to have a shot to win the game. If we're on point, we've done the right things, we've scouted them the right way, we're going to have a shot to win the game. Doesn't mean we're going to win every game, but I feel like our process of how we have gone through, how we're doing what we're doing, our process is on point. Now, can we get the outcome that we want? And so we just have to continue believing in that and working that every day. And no matter what, our process has to be on point, and then we'll take it. You know, what happens after that happens.
I can see you keeping that in perspective because of all of your experience. We got a bunch of freshmen that are going to be like, they got to be a little giddy about what's happening here. Like, they know that they are playing a significant role. So you got to keep their focus. And your first game on the road at North Carolina, you're going to have to bring it, right? Because it goes up a notch.
Yeah, it'll be a challenge. There's no doubt. It'll be a huge challenge. And but I have full confidence that we'll be ready for it. We'll go in there ready to compete hard. And I mean, it's hard to win in this league at home or on the road. It's just, it's hard. But I feel really, you know, I just feel good about where we are right now and that we're going to give ourselves a chance when we get on the floor in conference play. And that's all you can ask. That's all you can do as a coach. And then you get out there and compete and make some good decisions during the game and see what happens. Hopefully you're shooting the ball well, too. That makes a big difference.
You know, sitting in the TV seat like you used to sit in, you know, I've already advanced your schedule. So I know you get past North Carolina, you got three next games, winnable games. So the teams will be picked below you or right around 500 or less than 500 records. And then you've got Louisville, which will always be a tough one, right? Because they're always tough. And it just keeps going from there. But you got a chance to have a really great start. And it's going to be a really good test. You're going to feel good. But you do. I mean, the thing that, you know, you have a win over Georgia, your rival. You beat Oregon. And then you won over Mississippi State in the SEC Challenge. Those are significant quad one, if you will, since we have a new metric system, right, which we haven't even dove into that yet. I think it's too early to start talking about it. But those are all going to be quad one wins, I would think.
And, you know, we talk to our team about that, the importance of you've got to win these games. These are the ones that come back and get you at the end, you know, when they're sitting down in that committee room and whatever. Yeah. So you got to handle your business. But I'm super proud of how they responded to our conversations, how they responded to the challenge of the work that had to get done on the floor when we beat South Dakota State. Let me tell you what, that team's good.
Yeah.
You know, that team's really good. We had to scheme and do all kinds of stuff to beat them. And then Oregon, a couple of days later, that was, you know, that 6'9 Filipina. I mean, that team's going to be really good. I mean, they're good. Yeah. So I was super proud of them for that. And I think that just gives everybody, you know, you're like, hey, man, we might be pretty good. And let me tell you something. 10 years ago, you wouldn't have heard me talking like this, Antonelli. I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah, good for you.
I'm going to let I want my kids to feel good about it. I want them to be confident. And let's roll. This is just conversation. Hey, we could go out and get our butt kicked tomorrow. I know that, whatever. But we're going to approach every game like, hey, we got a shot to win this thing. Let's be on point with what we're doing.
I mean, let's go, right? I mean, how many years is this for you coaching?
All time. But yeah.
For me, it's 37 on the air. This is my 37th year on the air.
That's crazy. It's probably my 37th year, but not as a head coach. I've just been in the business for a long time, you know, as a head coach. I can't even tell you, but it's not a whole lot, you know.
Yeah, I mean, no, but just, you know, around the game, like, you know, we're experiencing a special time, a time that we've all waited and worked and hoped.
Yes.
And here it is. So it could be a moment if we allow it to be that. I think it's got to have some momentum to it. When you put your TV hat on, you start thinking about, you know, the growth of the game and not just worried about Georgia Tech. And I know you don't just worry about Georgia Tech because I know you see the bigger picture and you have a vision about it. But what's your thoughts on that? You know, the overall where we are and what we need to do.
Yeah, I think we're in a really good space. I think that we need to continue I think the way the game's being played right now is really exciting because you've got some really high level, exciting players to watch. Look, I'm a Hannah Hidalgo. I mean, my God, that kid is so good. We got to figure out how to guard her at some point, you know.
So good.
But I enjoy watching her play. She's great for the game. You know, it's like, I mean, I've got some kids that I enjoy watching play too. So I think there's so many players out there like that. And now we've got more eyeballs on the game. I hope we just continue to have really be competitive on TV when people are watching, but continue to just keep pushing our game because it's well worth coming to watch.
So let me ask you this, because, you know, I always say the product is the narrative. So I'm always pushing the product, you know, because our game has always been good. We just haven't had a lot of people watching it. Let me throw this at you. Like this probably will get me in trouble, but I'm going to throw it at you anyway.
Not you.
I'm on the edge, just a little bit on the edge right now. I mean, you know, there's a lot. You got to know, right?
That's all right. That's all right.
If I was the NCAA, I would give ESPN and maybe Fox and maybe the Big Ten Network. I don't know. I mean, but because I work for ESPN, you work for ESPN. Let's just keep it right there, okay? I would give ESPN $500,000 back from the rights fee and dedicate it to the best storytellers with the greatest platform for the women's game to tell. I'll give you $500,000. You got to tell 50 stories around the country of women's basketball players that we don't launch in March that have shelf life of 2 weeks, that we put out in January so that we can take a deeper dive on Toni Morgan, why she stayed, what a great kid she is, how much she loves the Georgia Tech experience. She's embraced it. No amount of money was going to take her away. She told me that.
Yeah.
She loves you. She loves being there. She loves her teammates. There's something to be said about that. Yeah. You know, what if we, what do you think about that idea? Like, I think the storytelling part of it is what I've learned having experienced Clarkonomics for a year.
Yeah.
That makes me think, what if we did, they're partners. We're partners with the NCAA at ESPN. Give us $500,000 so we can tell those stories. Because what ESPN will say is, you know, we don't have the personnel, the production, the edit time, the, you know,
right.
and that's true.
Right.
But let's create it.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from for sure. I mean, I do. I think maybe another way to look at that is just challenge the schools, challenge Georgia Tech. Hey, y'all get it together over there and get a story together, hire a sportscaster there in Atlanta and let's tell Toni Morgan's story and we'll pay, you know, maybe that's where we've got to come up with the money and do it. And then ESPN says, we'll put that on, blah, blah. You know, we'll start featuring these features. But y'all got to do them. We'll challenge us with that. Make us, you know, challenge us with that, because I agree. There are so many players out there. People knew their story. They wouldn't miss another game. They would definitely tune in. They wouldn't miss another game. And they'd go travel to go watch that kid play because they got drawn in with that story. I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's going to be hard coming up with that money. But challenge the schools to come up with the story. I mean, you know, with producing the story.
Well, we got to, you know, keep beating that same bush because that's what it is. I mean, I just don't want to see a great story come out in March at the ACC tournament. It has a shelf week of two weeks because the team, you know, wins one, loses one. Then they go to the NCAA, they lose. The story's gone. You know, we need to be able to advance the story after the story comes out.
Yeah. Or at least put it on the, stove so it can percolate during the season.
Yeah.
Then, you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Now, well, that's pretty good. Like, we could keep going, but I know you got probably film to watch and you got a game coming up and you got to get ready for the Tar Heels. And I've had them a couple of times, so they're good.
Yeah,
man,
I know.
They're hard. Yeah. They've got, I think they got 7 players between 8 and 11 points.
Yeah.
And, they move the ball pretty well and
they're
defend.
Tough, man. They are.
Pretty good.
Yeah, this conference is just, this conference is really, really tough this year. There's no doubt. The SEC is tough. I mean, basketball is good right now. Basketball is at a super high level right now. And it's like every day you're getting ready for the next one, though.
I think everyone in basketball would love to see Nell Fortner's team playing at a high level. And when she's coming to your arena, make sure you catch them, because the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets are ranked top 25, undefeated right now, and they'll be heading into Chapel Hill to play North Carolina this weekend. So congrats, Nell, on your early start, and thank you so much for being with us on Nothing But Net. It's always great to see you.
Absolutely, Antonella. You have a great rest of your day.